Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about a youth's responsibility towards the Imam of our time. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We have in the studio Sheikh Shafiq Huda, who is going to be talking to us a little bit about the responsibilities of a youth towards the Imam of our time. Let's go ahead and invite him and start our discussion. Sheikh Shafiq Huda, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the talk show.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. It's an honor and a pleasure for me to be here with you today.
So jazakallah khair. Thank you so much, Sheikh Shafiq Huda, of course, for coming and joining us on the talk show. You had a really busy schedule while you were visiting, but still you honored us with coming and speaking with us. We appreciate it. Allah bless you.
It's actually my honor and a pleasure to be here. I have been a fan of Islamic Pulse for a while. And so it has actually been my honor and pleasure to have this opportunity to share a few thoughts with you, inshallah.
So Sheikh Shafiq, right? So here, one of the things that we find, of course, is in this end of times, Akhru Zaman, right? In this occultation of the Imam of our time, Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. Of course, we live in a strange time. You look at the political dynamics of the world, the economic dynamics of the world, and everything just seems to be in chaos. But one very important aspect of all these things is the youth. And within the youth, of course, is that responsibility that every youth has towards the Imam of our time, right? Sometimes we say that, for example, it is the Imam who is waiting for us. And so he's waiting for us to fulfill certain responsibilities, certain roles,
Correct.
Certain duties.
Correct.
So along those lines, we wanted to discuss and we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Thank you very much, dear Sayyid. You have addressed actually a number of very, very important issues. One of which the chaos in the world that we live in. And oftentimes people, especially youths, are asking, why is this happening? What is happening? There's sometimes a confusion, an understanding gap. And when we look at, for example, what could be a single most important issue that may be facing the youth? Because remember one thing, that the youths are the future of our community.
Right.
Whether you're living in the West, the East, the North, or the South, the youth are the future. And the youths are basically the hope that we have.
Yes, okay? Of course.
And so,
yes.
You know, whether an elder looks at a youth or whether the youths are trying to address and assess themselves, this is what they do, they understand, and they know. So the future is belonging to them. And so when they have these questions, when they have these dilemmas, it becomes really important to be focused.
Sure.
And I think that this is where if somebody was to, for example, ask me for my thoughts, my personal opinion, that what is the single most reason or the single most thing that needs to be improved upon, my usual answer is that our own spirituality and our focus towards the divine spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are focusing on that, then a lot of other things that are around us that are chaotic, as you mentioned,
yes,
can be at least, if not solved, bearable.
Sure.
And palatable to some extent as well. And the reason for that is because when we look at management techniques today in the world that we live in, they talk about something called management by objective, MBO. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they talk about having an objective, you focus on that objective and you basically work, and all the departmental managers work towards that objective. When we look at our own spiritualities and our own positions, we see that this is the same thing that Islam had talked about centuries
thousands,
ago,
yes.
1400 years ago,
right.
That be focused, be determined, and then the whole foundation of kalima ila ilaha illallah, mm-hmm. that the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that you are focused. Whatever we do, when we pray, when we fast, when we go for hajj, when we give our khums or zakat, we always say, I'm doing this qurbatan ilallahi ta'ala. Qurbatan ilallahi ta'ala. That is for the sake of Allah. Whatever I do, it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this era where we are facing so many challenges, the way we are able to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by having our focus on the hujjat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Imam Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala dhuhrahu sharif. May Allah hasten his return. And so basically when we are considering that as our primary responsibility, that what do we need to do? How do we please Allah? We please Allah by obeying the representative of Allah, by representing, by the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are basically serving all the Almighty Creator. So when we are looking at improving or developing our own spirituality, this is something that's very, very difficult and challenging.
Sure.
It goes without saying. And those who are involved in exercising, and those who go to the fitness and the gym and all that, they tell you one thing. They say, no pain, no gain. So, you know, until you, you know, push those bench presses, until you're lifting, you know, outside of your comfort zone, and until it hurts, until it's painful, you're not going to get the benefits of whatever you're trying to achieve. And our spirit is the same. We need to basically confront our lusts, our egos, our temporal desires, and the love of the materialistic world, and focus on something higher, much more you know, exalted. And it's not difficult. That's where the pain is. And, you know, those pains are of a different nature than the pains of, you know, exercising or going to the gym and what have you.
So Sheikh, can I, if I just interrupt very humbly, right? Or it's more than interrupting, it's adding to the discussion. So you had, primarily you're saying that the responsibility of the youth towards the Imam of the time, first and foremost, is to be able to focus upon Allah.
Absolutely.
Correct? And
Absolutely.
Focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of our affairs, whether it is formal acts of worship, like you said, salat and fasting
Absolutely.
And hajj and these things, or whether it's informal acts of worship, right?
Absolutely.
Our day-to-day actions,
Absolutely.
For example, if done for the sake of Allah, as you very well put, they are considered to be the worship of the Almighty Allah. So having this focus upon Allah at all times. And so I think after that, what you had brought up was that in vertical to that, right? We say dartul, right? As compared to arz.
Yes.
I don't really know how to do it in English, but...
The horizon, horizontal and the vertical. Absolutely.
And the vertical. So in a vertical aspect, once you are focusing on the Almighty Allah, then of course you end up focusing on the Imam of the time.
Absolutely. Because that is the hujjat of Allah.
Another really important thing that you had brought up was this idea of strengthening our spirituality, and how that not only takes time, but it takes a lot of effort. I don't know which one of these do you want to open up, because up to this point is quite a bit, right? Let's just start from the beginning, focusing our attention on the Almighty Allah.
Yes.
When it comes to the day and age in which we live, right? So, I mean, we have cell phones, and we have, social media, and we have internet, then we have movies. Right, and then we have video games, then we have sports, and then we have music. I mean, so already I'm inundating you with the amount of materialistic attachments that we have. It makes it difficult to be able to focus on Allah.
Difficult is probably an understatement, dear Sayyid. It is an understatement, simply because you have highlighted and talked about so many issues that are diversions.
Right.
Because one of the things that Shaitan had promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he will divert the believers.
Right.
And he will divert them where they are going. You see, when you look at the places of haram, the places of forbidden, you know, the alcohol places, the cinemas and what have you, Shaitan is already there. He doesn't need to do anything.
Right.
It's in the day-to-day lives that he is affecting us. And when you said that the amount of time people spend on their phones, on Netflix, on all these movies, and then, you know, you download this and iPads and what have you. Yeah. It's an overdose of information. It's a super highway of information. And that's where things become very, very challenging. If you take, for example, and I've often talked to youths about this, I said, how many times a day do you check your Telegram, your WhatsApp, your Instagram? How many times in a day?
Mm.
And I said, you contrast that to how many times a day do you take a Quran Majid or a Nahjul Balagha or a Sahifa Sajjadiyah? And how many times do you look at something that you might benefit from, that you might take something that will be of value to you, you know, important value.
Yes.
And obviously the answers are very, very evident and they're self-explanatory. And then we wonder why we are suffering the way we are. And as you have so rightly said, you know, it's a vertical dimension that we're talking about. When we're looking at serving Allah and what we should do, one of the things that I try to ask myself first and foremost is that what I'm doing, is this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Am I pleasing Allah? Will Allah be pleased with me? Because the minute you open up yourself in your mind to accountability, that what am I doing? Why am I doing it? How is this going to affect anybody else, or how is it going to affect my own spirituality? Then things start getting a little more focused. I don't mean to say that don't check your phone. I'm not saying don't check your Instagram or Facebook or whatever you have. But what I am saying is that, is it going to get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you check it 10 times a day, fine. That's up to you, and that's between you and your own faith and iman and your own creator. But is it going to make you a better person? Is it going to make you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there some benefit? Is there something that you will achieve by having done this? And again, this is directly affiliated with our responsibility to the imam. Because when the imam does return, and the imam will be obviously having his own army as well, unlike the armies of other nation states, other countries, whereby they look at your agility, they look at your abilities, they look at your height, they look at your strength, they look at your ability to overcome walls and hills and rock climbing and what have you.
Sure.
The imam doesn't care how tall you are, or how short you are, or how chubby you might be, or how thin you might be. The imam's whole basis and foundation of the army will be of spirituality.
Spirituality.
Very of beautiful. Those whose iman and their actions have been for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we have been told by the A'imma alayhim as-salam, peace be upon them, the imams have told us that in Akhir al-Zaman, to protect iman will be the most difficult thing, because you will leave your house in the morning with iman, you will come back having lost your faith. Having lost your iman. So when we look at that, and when we, as your reader, your viewers will appreciate that how challenging it is to protect our faith, but then that is the way we will get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be actually eligible to be the imam's army, and as part of the ansar, or the helpers of the imam, when he is establishing equality, truth and justice throughout the world.
So Sheikh, again, I had brought up so many different examples so that people really understand that it is really almost like a onslaught on behalf of this psychological, social warfare, of course, that's going on for the minds and the souls of humanity in general. At that, very international, global level, I don't even think that they care whether somebody's a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew.
Absolutely not.
It's all about this enslavement of the mind, enslavement of the soul, in order to, get them involved into this rat race where all they're concerned about is these kind of frivolous things.
Yes,
they don't wake up to this spirituality.
Yes.
Which you are drawing our attention to, right? And I, my humble suggestion, to the viewers is to kind of wean themselves off, slowly from these things.
Yes.
And I think the first step is what you very eloquently said, is whenever you're going, for example, on these platforms, or you're going on the internet, or you can even go play a video game. Really think, is this going to help me in my spiritual progress? Is this going to, help me in the hereafter? Or is this just a transient, worldly, materialistic pleasure that will last 5-10 minutes, waste my time, and then that's it, when I could have been doing something much more appropriate with my time? I mean, if you'd like to comment on that.
Well, absolutely, dear Sayyid. And again, appreciating your viewers to draw their attention to this area. The Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him and his family, has been quoted as saying that if you wake up in the morning and you don't care about the umur al-muslimin, the affairs of the Muslims, falisa min al-muslim, that you're not a Muslim. Humorously, I mentioned, but it's not actually a humorous issue, but I say this in that context, that we wake up in the morning with our WhatsApp or our phones and our this things, whether it's the alarm waking us up, and without caring for the affairs of Muslims, we're seeing, okay, who has messaged me, who talked to me in the middle of the night, time zones, time differences, and all that. And I think this is where we really need to do a self-evaluation, and so rightly so you said, weaning ourselves off these things. Some youngsters, when they have their discussions, and sometimes I engage in very interesting debates, and I would even sometimes call them arguments, Sayyid, that they say, well, you're against technology, you're against modernity, and you're against the all these accesses that we have towards that. And I say, no, I'm not against it. I'm not in the dinosaur era. I'm not against that. But at the same time, we must ensure that we maintain control over these devices and the, right. the these aspects of internet and technology, rather than having those devices control us. This is where the biggest jihad or struggle is.
Right.
Are those devices controlling us, or am I in charge? Do I know? I mean, when you talk about, for example, some families tell me that when the kids come to the dinner table, they have their phones with them, or they have their iPads with them, or their iPhones with them, or iPods, or what have you. And one of the things that even in this era, I've been very emphatic on when I talk to youths, and including, you know, my own children as well, we make sure that there are no devices on the table. We make sure that there's nothing that is going to divert us from our family time. At least have one meal a day together.
Right.
And what I encourage even my younger children to do, I say, okay, you know what, there are six of us at the table. We'll put a seventh plate there. This is for Imam Sahibul Amr. This is for the Imam of the time. And every day, keep that connection with the Imam very practical. And the minute you do that, the minute you think, I mean, inshallah, we hope that the spirit of the Imam will be with us at that dinner table or the lunch table. But the minute you do that, the child, the student, the youth, the youngster, and even us adults, we remember Imam is watching. The Imam is watching. The Imam is with us.
It's a very, yes, it's
and,
interesting.
And there's no if buts or ands, that, you know, that's where, you know, you at least give yourself a little bit of time without the device. This is extremely, extremely important. You know, you need that moment, because one of the things that I've seen, and forgive me for speaking so much, is that what has been happening lately is that because of this overwhelming highway and overdose of information and technology and internet, we have not really, and youngsters, and I speak very openly and bluntly about this,
sure.
that when was the last time you took a minute to look at the tree and appreciate the greenery that it has? When was the last time you took a flower and smelt it and recited salawat upon Muhammad and Ali Muhammad? Because we have been told that, you know, thousands of our sins get forgiven when we recite salawat upon smelling a pleasant fragrance. And so they say, oh my God, I've not even looked at the sky. I don't, you know, we used to, you know, little kids used to appreciate the clouds.
Yes,
and they would
say,
oh, this is that shape, this is that shape. And nowadays, who does that? Very few. I mean, I'm sure there are some who still do that, but it's very few, especially in our Western world, in the places where they don't have phones or technology or internet, in the jungles of Africa or India or Asia. That's a different situation. But I'm talking about us who are, you know, who have access to this, and not taking time to appreciate the nature around us, not taking time to appreciate the climate around us. And this is actually causing us to become almost, you can say, hard-hearted.
Yeah, zombies.
And it's very dangerous, dear Sayyid.
It's interesting. So because the Quran also, right, when it says, it lists all these different things, the stars and the universe and the skies and the heavens, right? And then it says, do you not ponder? Has all of this come out? Meaning that there is really a connection that takes you towards your creator.
Yes.
It takes you towards the creator of all these things. So Sheikh, I mean, I think, you know, we wanted to keep them kind of short and sweet this time around. I know we don't want to take too much of your time. But I mean, if you wanted to do some conclusionary words as far as this kind of, the two things that we really touched upon, which was this this connection and focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how this relates to the Imam of our time as being a responsibility towards the Imam of our time and strengthening our spirituality.
Yeah, and I think if our viewers keep a little bit of their attention and encourage each other. So one of the things that I've always found in my discussions with our youth and the youngsters is the fact that when we want to do something, we need to do it together. We need to do it in unison with each other. You know, the whole foundation of Amar bil Maruf and Nahi lil Munkar, join each other to do good and refrain each other from doing evil, is focused on this togetherness that we have for each other. You know, the peer pressures, the friendships, these are things that, you know, we are facing on a day-to-day basis. So peer pressure can be, of course, most of the time negative, but there is a chance it can be positive as well.
Sure,
you know, when Alim, Marhum Zishan Haider Jawadi, Allah makam. Mm. I used to mention in his lectures, he said that when people want to do something haram, for example, going to the movie or going somewhere out or for just a fun gathering or dinner, they'll say,
they do it in groups.
Let's go together. We'll go together. Let's go do this together. But when somebody's at your house and it's namaz time, salat time, oh, give me 5 minutes, I'll just go pray and come back.
Yeah.
Give me 10 minutes, let me just go pray and come back. We won't say, let's go and pray
together.
Yeah. And I think this is something that we really need to put a little bit of our mindset too, that you know, if I'm going to go pray and I'm, you know, it's time for salah, why not encourage each other?
Yes.
In management, there was one very beautiful example that was once given to me. It says that if you are buying, for example, a 10-pound bag of potatoes for $2, and somebody is selling a 50-pound bag of potatoes for $3, what does it make sense to do? To buy the 50 bag and share $3. It with others. Right?
Okay, the share it is something extra. But yeah, share it with others.
Like, I mean, otherwise they'll spoil it in your house, I'm sure. So, and the thing is that, you know, you share goodness with others.
Right,
if you have, if you know somebody who's got a big family, you tell them, buy it from here, don't buy it from there.
Right.
And that's how we need to help each other. We need to encourage each other. We need to embolden and strengthen each other for the sake of good. There's lots of ways people are doing evil and strengthening each other for evil and haram and forbidden things. We really need to be focused on strengthening ourselves and each other, because it starts with ourselves. You know, when you're on an airplane, the flight attendant mentions, you know, first put on your mask and then whoever's sitting next to you, your child or
the
anything.
Child.
Because if you are not safe, you can't help anybody. Mm. If you're not on Sirat al-Mustaqim, if you're not on the right path, you can't help anybody get on the right path.
Right.
And I think this would be a very humble conclusion, my dear Sayyid, and thank you again for this opportunity.
Jazakallah, thank you also, Sheikh Shafiq Huda, for taking time out, joining us on the talk show. Inshallah, we hope to see you on another one quite soon, inshallah.
My honor.
Thank you, dear viewers, for joining us on the talk show. We were talking to Sheikh Shafiq Huda, who was visiting the holy city of Qom, and we talked about how we need to focus our spirituality and focus our spirituality on the Almighty Allah, most especially in order to fulfill our responsibilities towards the Imam of our time. Until another talk show, fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wherever you are.